Wasn't it this morning? Good songs and good spirit. I thank the Lord for them today. And these songs go right with the message today that God has given to me from the book of Isaiah. Go with me, if you would, to the 40th chapter is where I'll be reading from. The 40th chapter from the book of Isaiah. And follow along with us while we read these three verses. And then try to follow him and give the word the honor that it is deserving of. And with his spirit, we'll be able to have a message that will touch our hearts and show us what we need to do in our own lives. And every one of us today need a word from God. We need a word from God. We're living in a time when the word is very sparse. We need a word that will just get down to where we live at and reveal unto us that word which God would have us to walk away with this morning. So in the book of Isaiah, in the 40th chapter, go with me, if you would, reading verses 6, 7, and 8. Sounds like everybody's found it. Verse 6 says, "The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as of the flower of the field. The grass wither, and the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Amen. You can be seated in the house of the Lord. I'd like to use this morning a text that God laid upon my heart a couple weeks back. And I've been dealing with this and trying to get the interpretation that God would have us to bring in a message. And our text today is things you can change, but they never change. Things you can change, but they never change. Has anybody ever else in times purposed in your heart you're going to change something about your behavior or your thoughts or your actions, but yet it seemed like even though you wanted to make the change, you couldn't do it. You made a change and it only lasted a short time, and then you went right back to acting like you used to. The Bible tells us and teaches us that there are many things that man tries to change only to see man go right back, revert right back to the way that he was. We were all born and conceived in sin, and we have to fight that sin nature daily to try to keep it out of our lives and try to make it so that the change that God made in us will show through and not the changes that we make. The Bible tells us that without God, man can make all the changes he wants, but none of them will stay. The Bible teaches us that the thief will still be a thief and the liar will still be a liar. The adulterer will still be an adulterer. The drunkard will still be a drunkard, and the addict will still be an addict. Because they try to make changes, and no matter how hard they try, the change does not stick. Because they don't have the right source. In our lives, we've all tried to make changes that we look back and knew that we needed to make, but only to find out a short time later, we was right back to doing the same things we were before. The Bible talks about this in 2 Peter in the 2nd chapter and the 22nd verse about a dog returning to its vomit. And a sow returning to the mire. You can clean them up and dress them up, but the change does not last. He also tells us in Jeremiah in the 13th chapter about, can the Ethiopian change the color of his skin? He may want to, but he can't. Or the leper, it spots. You may be able to put some dye on it and change it, but it's still a leopard. You can't change it today. You can change it, but it doesn't change it. And one of the things that is prevalent in our day today is in times is that people are always talking about a change and things that need to change. But if it doesn't align with God's word, we better leave it alone. These that are men trying to become women and women trying to become men, you can make the change, but you can't. It doesn't change you because the DNA and the chromosomes still tell the same, the right story. You can change the outside, but it doesn't change the inside. But if you change the inside, it will change the outside. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible teaches us that people are changing so much about God in the church. Not just their lives, but how they perceive things that are in our church and our very fabric of Christianity. That the truth is being changed into a lie. But it does not change the truth. These words that we have over here on the wall and the book that we read out of will not change regardless what man does to it. And they try to turn a lie into the truth by saying just anything will work and just any way will get you to heaven when we know that it's not the truth. It is a lie that the devil is spreading across our land to deceive and cause those to die and go to hell. And the Bible even tells us that he is able even at times to deceive the very elect. He said, if possible. And I believe it's possible today, don't you? That we're seeing all these things happen. And people try to make changes, but yet the change does not stick. In the book of Leviticus, it talked about how a leper, knowing that they was a leper, they could say that they wasn't, Brother Charlie, but it didn't change the fact that they were. They could put something on it to try to hide it, but once it was diagnosed, they was cast outside of the city, outside from their family and friends. We live in a time where evil is being called good, and good is being called evil. You could try to take something evil, meaning something that is wrong, and you've heard me preach on this many times over the years that just because the government says it's legal doesn't mean it is right. Just because your neighbors and friends may accept it as acceptable doesn't mean that we ought to change today. We have to have a foundation, as we preached last weekend, that we stand upon and we do not waver from what God's word says to us. Here in the scripture, he said that the grass withers and the flower fadeth. He's talking about men, the grass, women, the grass of the field, that it withered. Every one of us, as we go through life, and it'll go right with the question, Glenn, that we talked about this morning. As we go through life, there is changes that come in our life. Some of them are things that we change. Others are changes because that we see things differently or that God opened it up to us. And we change along life, but the end of it is that man is here only for a short time and then we're going to be gone. But even when we're gone, God's word will still stand. You say, but it's being so pushed out in so many places across the country that calls himself a church. It doesn't matter if everybody gets rid of their Bibles. It's not going to change the word that is written in heaven. These words that we read is not my words or your words, but they are God's word given by the Holy Spirit to the men of God to write it down, to give it to us that we might know that we need to make a change in our life. Yet, most changes that we make don't stick. They don't stick. In the book of Habakkuk, in the first chapter, in the 11th verse, he talks about how we change our minds. Over in the book of Acts, in the 28th chapter, he talked about it. Has anybody ever changed your mind about a subject matter or a thing in the past only to realize that you'd made a mistake? You made a mistake. There are things that we want to change. Our desires. The things that we have in our daily lives. But yet, if we don't have a higher power, we can make all the changes we want, but follow it long enough and you'll see it go right back to the mire from which it came from. The Bible teaches us that people today, in a book of Ezekiel in the 5th chapter, it talks about how that people would change God's judgments. And it doesn't matter what we might say about God's judgment. God's judgment is true. And every one of us is going to stand in judgment. And you say, Roger, I don't know about that. Listen to what he told them back in the book of Ezekiel. Jerusalem had to stand in judgment. The Bible says there's only one life to live, and after this, we face the judgment. Now, I want to preach very plainly this morning. He's not talking about when we get to heaven and everybody's going to stand there one by one and have to give an account. I believe we give an account on this side of the river. Judgment, therefore, must begin at the house of the Lord. And when we die, our judgment is sealed for eternity. I can tell you I'm going to heaven, but unless I've had a change that stuck, I'm going to die and go to hell. And many might say, I'm not going to die and go to hell. But if they don't get right with God, that's where they're going to spend eternity. It's not popular preaching, but it's the truth. We even try to change, man tries to change the glory of God. In the book of Romans, in the 1st chapter, they said that they would try to change the glory of God, which is uncorruptible, into corruptible things, such as birds and also four-footed beasts and creeping things. My God is not a God that can be touched by hand. He's not a statue that's on a wall or a picture that hangs there. My God is a spiritual God. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Not with showmanship. Not with, and we got some very talented people, don't get me wrong. But whenever our talent takes God out of it, we have messed up. Whenever our preaching is more on the things of life than it is upon the Word of God, we're no longer preaching. We've changed it into some type of a motivational word. I believe the Word of God ought to motivate us. More than anything else, God's Word ought to motivate us. The Bible teaches us that the world is saying that we ought to change God's Word into where it is more understandable and user or reader friendly, and it ought to be one that takes out those things called blood and hate and talks about sin. I still believe in the old time Word of God. Amen. People say, what kind of Bible do you have? Mine is a King James Version. Man has changed the Word so much. And I didn't write down the statistics, but if you go back and begin to look at the New King James Version or the Revised King James Version or one of these other versions, you'll find out that the blood is missing. Love is missing. We need to, instead of taking them out, we need to preach it more with power than we've ever preached it before. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Without Christ dying on the cross, man can't get to heaven. And they say that Jesus has changed. He says here in the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter and 8th verse, that Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Another scripture says that he changeth not. Aren't you glad we got a God that requires the same thing of us as he did our forefathers? And if the next generation or the ones that follow, he'll require of them the same thing that he requires of us today. None of us is going to get in any other way except through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus has not changed. They say that he's become this person that hates things. The only thing, you know, when you begin to read the Word of God, what God or what Jesus hates is sin. And he is not going to change to favor sin just to please a group of people. If he did, Brother Ott, he'd have to go all the way back in time and apologize to every one of them. But what he requires of them, he requires of us. He's not a God that has changed, but you can count on him day in and day out. In 1 Peter, in the first chapter, in the 23rd verse, it says that the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. He's not going to change his word to suit this generation that we're in today. And this is hard preaching this morning, but you know, everybody thinks that we ought to soften up the message of the cross. I'm glad that when I was lost, somebody got behind a pulpit and preached the power of God and its power and its purity, and told me if I ever expected to get to heaven, I had to get saved by the grace of God. Otherwise, nothing else would get me there. We can change the message, but it will not change the message, because somewhere, somebody will still be preaching the Word of God in its power. They have changed the truth of God into a lie. Several years ago, you know, and even still today, there is comments that will come out every once in a while that say that Christ had a affair with women. There's those that said in the movies in times past, Corpus Christi, that said that the apostles were homosexuals. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to belittle the word and the gospel of Jesus Christ to make it fit in with the world today. And you will never find a place where God will change his word to fit this time in which we're living in. I like what Billy Graham said many years ago. If God doesn't have America stand accountable for her sins, he'll have to go back to Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize to them. Let me tell you today, if it was sin for them, it is still sin today. You can categorize it any way you want to, but if the Word of God says it's sin, you better stay away from it. We have people today that want to change the Word of God into a lie. They say, how do you know that this book is real? How do you know that all this happened? And I used to be skeptical myself. How many of you were skeptical at one time in your life? But then, one night in an old-time Baptist church, the Word of God came by and revealed to me that this was not just some story or some man's thought, but it was the Spirit of God that come by and said, it's real, and you can count on it. We have taken the Word of God and lessened its power. We've changed it, but yet you can never change it. The Bible says it like this, as he said here, but the Word of God, our God, shall stand forever. The word says that heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word will abide for eternity. Even though we may be dead and gone, God's word will still be alive and well. It will still be alive and well. We've changed so much, but yet we've not changed at all. We look at all the things that we try to change. Man tries to change the outside. When God changes the inside, you cannot change the outside and expect it to change the inside. People have different thoughts and about many different things in life. I say what we ought to do, these folks that are saying this is right and that is right, what they need to do is get a good dose of the Holy Spirit, and it will reveal to them that it is wrong. It is sin in the eyes of God. It's an abomination in His eyes, and it's going to lead them to the hell and destruction for eternity. And people seem to accept every word there is except for God's word. How many of you are like me? I say, let God's word be a truth and every man a lie. Amen. Because it will stand when the world's on fire. See, we can make all kinds of changes in our lives, but they will not last unless God does a changing in us. We're living in a time that is scary with all the changes that's coming and have happened. And brothers and sisters, if you think the devil's going to stop, you better open your eyes. He's not going to stop until he robs every mom and dad, young man and woman that he can, and takes them to hell for eternity. The change that we need is in our homes and in our churches, in our country, a change that will stand. You know, the pendulum in our country swings many different ways, and you can see change come, and then you can also feel the movement of other changes that's coming. We just had it this week to where in California, where an atheist, a congressman or a senator or whatever he was, filed suit against the United States government to take off of our money in God we trust. You could take it off of my money, but it's not going to change my trust in God. Our forefathers put it there because they trusted in God. We are becoming one of the most heathen nations that there is in this world because we want to accept everybody's God. I say, give me the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the God that can change lives. All these other gods are as the ones that he talked about, those that are corruptible. We want to make gods that we can see and touch. Let me tell you, when you get full of the Holy Spirit and God moves in your lives, you can see God. And you may not be able to touch him, but you can feel him touching you. We got a change that's coming in this country. And it's not just in our homes. It's in our school systems. Don't ever allow anybody to tell you who you are. You be who you are in Jesus Christ. And if it means that you're ostracized, so be it. You say, Roger, you're old. You don't have to put up with the peer pressure that there is. I'm not going to change my life to suit a world that is full of sin and put a mark against my God. It might be legal, but it's not right. It might be that everybody else is doing it, but I need to stay away from it. You young people, listen to me for a few minutes. And you young, older folk alike, instead of conforming to the times, we need to conform to the Word of God. The times will get you in trouble. It'll take you to places that you won't be able to get out of. It will scar your life for the rest of your days upon this earth. But I've got something in me that changed my life for the rest of my days upon this earth. You say, Roger, you don't know what kind of pressure we're under. There's always been pressure. And I don't care how old you get, there will always be pressure to conform to the world and its standards. But instead of conforming to the world, remember the commitment that you made to Jesus Christ. How many of you told him in a prayer along life's journey, if you will do this for me, Lord, I'll do anything you ask going into the future. The Lord saved us not to go back to our vomit, the world, but to walk away from it. Be changed. And some today that have never changed, you're trying to make that change. You know where the devil starts is in your mind. He'll tell you things about yourself that you know that aren't true. He'll tell you that nobody loves you. That's a lie. That's a lie. There are plenty of people that love you. And if no one in the whole world loved you and you knew that Jesus loved you, that would be all right. Let the world pass us on by. The devil will put things in your mind about actions that you ought to stay away from. And you say, what kind of actions? There are people that the devil puts it in their mind to take things that's not theirs. And when they get caught, they say, I'm going to change, but the devil will put it right back down the road. He'll put it in your mind. You may have been born a man, but you're really a girl. Or you was born a girl, but you're really a man. Now, I've seen men, and I'm going to be very careful with this, that have more feminine characteristics, and I've seen women that have more masculine characteristics, but that does not change who they are. Amen? You say, you're stern on this. I believe we ought to be stern about the Word of God. There's a lot of changes that's taken place. Things that were acceptable, that weren't acceptable years ago, are now acceptable. And if time goes on long enough, I'm looking for a mighty revival to come from God that will change it back to the way it used to be. But let's be careful, because the devil is working like he's never worked before. If we really want to see change come, we better get on our knees and ask God to make that change in our lives. If you really don't like who you are or what you are, and I'm talking about spiritually today, if you really don't like what's going on in your life, you could try to make changes only to find out. I have seen people, bear with me, church, I have seen people move from one side of the country to another part of the country, but yet, you know what? That change did not change anything else in their life. And I don't think they'll mind me using this example. We had some members that had a son that had an addiction problem, and they moved completely to another state. You know what? That change did not bring change. The addiction problem went with him. If you really want to change, you've got to get a hold of a higher power that is able to make the change in you. And his name is Jesus Christ. There's people today that the devil is telling all kinds of things. Nick, I'm going to use your example too, if that's all right. I asked him how school's going, and he said, I've got some problems. Got some things I'm dealing with. I think every one of us in school and in the workplace, even you that are retired, we have things that we are trying to deal with. People say, well, your life looks like it's all just laid out just in order. Let me tell you, walk a day with us. We've all got issues that we're trying to change. But I can't even change myself, much less change somebody else. We've tried to change people. Anybody else tried to change somebody? You might be able to change them for a short spell of time, but then they'll go right back. They'll go right back. That's all the examples I gave you in the first part of the message. You could try to cover it up like the leper or the Ethiopian or the leopard itself, but it's not going to last. The more we try to change it, the more it stays the same. I got people that I've talked to for many years, and the same problems we've talked to them about year after year, and it never changes. See, in order for you to have a change that sticks, you've got to have the power of God making that change in your life. How many of you remember the night you got saved? And I'll use Brother Holcomb's example. The night he got saved and he went back to work, they said they'd give him 30 days. And he'd be right back, right? Because they thought he made a change, but would never change. But see, it wasn't he that made the change. It was God that made the change. And because God made the change, I don't want to be adjusted to this world. I don't want to be in the things that this world has to offer. You say, but they'll bring pleasure. The Bible says that there's pleasure in sin for a season, but the end thereof is destruction. I'm afraid in many of our homes, there's a lot of destruction coming because people are living for today. This afternoon in the rain, I don't even know if it's in Cincinnati or not, but there will be thousands of people that will gather in stadiums across the area to watch games that will not change their life by one bit. But yet you can't get them into the house of the Lord, because they're trying to keep up with what everybody else is doing. Let me tell you today, you've got to be your person in Christ Jesus and forget about what everybody else is. I can't be you, and you can't be me. When I was growing up, they had a saying that we was trying to keep up with the Joneses. Anybody else remember that saying? Now, our personalities are that we don't want to be ourselves. We want to be like everybody else so we're accepted. If changing your person, who you are, to be accepted by the world is what it takes, then you're in the wrong journey. You don't need to be what the world wants you to be. You need to be what God wants you to be. You want what God wants you to be? A set apart, born again child that don't have to worry about the sin and the things of this world. The Bible says in a scripture we've read, you and I have only got a few more days. Just like Brother Glenn, we talked about before church. In a few more days, you'll notice these leaves will start changing colors. They'll start changing colors And before too long, all the leaves will be on the ground. Our life is like that. We come forth, we bloom, and then we begin to fade, and then we're cut down. You say, Roger, that's a depressing analogy. That's life. We're all on our way out. But on the journey, we better get something that changes us for eternity. And my change came back in 1972. How many of you remember the day or the year? I don't remember the day. I got it wrote down somewhere at home. But how many of you remember the time that God came in and changed you? And you've not had to look for a change in that part since. I ask you this morning while we get a song of invitation, what is it in your life that needs to be changed? You know it needs to be changed, and you've tried. Maybe you're working on it. But your work will not stick. It may last for a day or two. It may last for a month. It may even last for a year or so. But it won't last eternally. God's word will be here when you and I are dead and gone. If he tarries his coming, Brother Mark, God's word will be here when the heavens split open and the Lord comes to get his church and take it out of this sin-filled world. If he tarries his coming, the word will stand when the world is on fire. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word, his word will never pass away. It will live. And you know, this is called the living book, right? The living word of God. You know why it's living? Because dead books get put on a shelf. Living books live on for eternity. This morning while we stand, they sing a verse of a song. I wonder, how many of you will confess that there is a change that you need in your life, and you'll come and ask God to change it in your heart and soul while they sing. In the stillness of the night. This morning, mom and dad can't change you. Even the church can't change you. It takes God changing you. He'll change more than just your mind. He'll change your heart. The things you now see as right will become wrong. And those things that you see as wrong will become right when it comes to his word. Would you just follow your heart this morning? Every moment along the way. Yes. You need that change before the change comes. Have you trusted him as your Lord and Savior? If not, now would be a good time for you to step out and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I accept you as my Savior. Would you do that this morning? Or you that are saved, and you're finding yourself changing to be more like the world. Let me caution you today. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We've been saved and separated. Every hour of every day. Follow your heart today. In every way,
I'm leaning on Jesus. He's the rock of my soul.
Yes.
And I'm singing his praises.
Wherever I go.
Wherever I go.
Amen and amen. There's a lot of things that we change, but they never change. And I didn't put this in the message because I didn't want to be... I think when it comes to the Word of God, we ought to be serious about it. Amen? It's not a place for jokes. It's not a place for poems or riddles. It's a place for the Word of God. But think about all the changes that we make. How many of you got up this morning and got up and you tried to change what you saw in the mirror so that you could come to church... Right? I'm going to tell you something. When we get back at the house and we look back in the mirror, we're going to see that same one. It's not going to change much. Right? And I thought about Becky every once in a while. She'll start complaining about her hair and she'll put stuff on it to change it, but it don't change it. Right? You might cover it up, but if you strip all that off, it's still the same. And in time, she'll say, look at my roots. I'm going to get in trouble, but you know, it's true. Right? You change it, but yet it comes You've really not changed it. And that's the way I believe a lot of people are. They make temporary changes. And that's all we can do. That's all we can do. This is what we got. It's the best it's going to get. Right? But we still try to make changes in it. I wish people worried as much about the inside as they do the outside. Amen. God bless you today. Come back tonight at 6 o'clock and be with us. And also, if you didn't already, make sure that you welcome Mark and Barb into our family. And tonight, we'll try to get them up and let everybody shake hands with them. Brother Ron, don't let me forget. Oh, you won't be here. You'll be at that visitation. Don't let me forget, Terry. But let's come back tonight, expecting good things to happen in the house of the Lord. And, you know, today, God's Word, let me say this and we'll close. God's Word is not sugar-coated. And it can be very harsh because we have to measure ourselves against the Word of God and see where we come up short so that we can make changes with His help to conform more to what He wants us to be. God's got a plan for your life. Every one of you. You may not be called to preach. You may not be called to be a deacon. You may not be a song leader. But God's got a plan for your life. And whether God's plan works its way into your life depends on if you'll allow Him to do so. Many of our people today are listening more to the devil and letting him take control of their life than they are God. We didn't mention this morning, but let's be much in prayer for those families that lost their loved one on, was that Friday, Thursday, downtown Cincinnati. You know, no known motive. As far as they know, complete, just picked out a spot to go in. And see, that's the way the devil works. Anywhere he can get in, he'll cause turmoil and trouble. But let's remember their families today and the ones that are still in the hospital fighting for their lives. God bless you. Come back tonight, would you? Each and every one. I know it's raining. I like what Jeff said. Yesterday they stayed in the house all day because they couldn't do anything because it was raining. You could do a lot of things today, but I want you to come back tonight. Even if it's raining, get you an umbrella. Come back.